Hi there. Thanks for turning on this podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was preached at Faith Lutheran Church in Meadow Vista, California. We are a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and we are a Reconciling in Christ congregation. To find out more about our congregation, please check out our website at faithmv.net. Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." In their panic and fright, they thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you disturbed? Why do such ideas cross your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, really. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as I do." After saying this, Jesus showed them the wounds. They were still incredulous for sheer joy and wonder, so Jesus said to them, "Do you have something here to eat?" After being given a piece of cooked fish, the Savior ate in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, "Remember the words I spoke when I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, saying, "That is why the scriptures say that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. In the Messiah's name, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all this. Take note, I am sending forth what Abba God has promised to you. Remain here in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." Then Jesus took them to the outskirts of Bethany and with upraised hands blessed the disciples. While blessing them, the Savior left them and was carried up to heaven. And the disciples worshiped the risen Christ and returned to Jerusalem full of joy. They were found in the temple constantly speaking the praises of God. The word of the Lord. So here we are a couple weeks after Easter. Have you been practicing resurrection? That was my instructions 2 weeks ago. Go out and practice resurrection. How's that been going for you? Okay, fair enough. Well, let's think about this. Let's break it down a little bit. What have you been doing, perhaps, or saying, or focusing your attention on that has been bringing you life? That has been bringing life to the people around you. That has been spreading love. Pretty sure you've been doing some of that. Well, today's reading is from the end of the Gospel according to Luke. Literally the very last verses. The last experience of Jesus that the disciples are having in this Gospel account. So Jesus shows up. He eats with him, he blesses him, he helps him understand the truth of the scriptures. He helps him see how he has fulfilled the scriptures. And he promises them power so that they can go out into the world and share the story of God's love. So they can go out and, guess what? Practice resurrection. The promised power came to the disciples at Pentecost. We read that in Acts 2. We're going to read that in about a month because we celebrate the event at Pentecost every year. But the good news is we don't have to wait for that day because the power of the Holy Spirit has already been given. It is here for us, just as it was for those disciples. The power that was promised to those first disciples is the power that we have to go out and to practice resurrection. But I'm guessing from some of the looks on your faces this morning, you might wonder, how do we do that? How do we tap into this power? It could be, maybe, that today, 2 weeks after Easter, resurrection seems like a long time ago. A lot of water under the bridge already. 2 full weeks of bad news, of difficult challenges in our families, of people forgetting that Easter is around us all the time, and now we've moved on to, I don't know what's coming up next. Memorial Day? We're already celebrating Memorial Day? I don't know. There are so many things going in the world that kind of bring us down, that make us feel powerless, things that we cannot control. It's possible we could be wondering if we actually have any power at all. Scripture speaks of power. Jesus promised power. But if that is the case, why do we still feel helpless in the face of hard times? Why do we start each day remembering all the problems of the past rather than starting fresh every morning? How do we spread God's love when it's easier to be apathetic? And I thought about that. I thought, well, is it easier to hate people or is it easier to be apathetic? I think it's actually easier just to be apathetic. Just say, I don't care. Whatever. Never mind. I'm just going to quit caring. It's too much work. It's too hard on my heart. Requires too much of me. How do we keep practicing resurrection when it feels like death is actually winning? So I'm wondering if the first step to practicing resurrection is actually accessing the power that has been given. It's like any other gift. We are given gifts from God, and we can choose to open those gifts and live into them, or we can leave them off to the side and say, yeah, I've been forgiven, but I'm not going to live into it. Yeah, I've been given grace and mercy, but I'm not going to accept it. I'm just keep beating myself up and treating others poorly. And yes, I've been given God's love, but I'm not really going to do anything with it and make the world a better place with it. So yes, we've been given power, and we can choose what we're going to do about it. So there's a story told by a retired U.S. Navy chaplain, Bill Wildhack. So one time he was on the USS Port Royal in the Arabian Sea, and it was Easter morning, and he was getting ready to conduct an Easter sunrise service. And the ship's CO came up to him and said, "Where do you want the sun to come up for the sunrise service, chaplain?" You clearly get the joke here. The sun rises in the east, always. But the captain actually could ask that question because guess what? He gets to move the ship around, right? He gets to reorient the ship in the direction that the chaplain wanted it so it would come up on the correct side of the boat, whatever that is. Maybe I'm wondering if the first step to accessing the power that God has given us is to reposition ourselves, to reorient the way we're facing, turn ourselves in such a way that we can experience the full light of the resurrection. We cannot control God's power. We cannot control when resurrection happens. But we can reposition ourselves so that we live fully in the reality of this truth. We can reposition our lives in such a way that we are overwhelmed by what God is doing. What if we allowed ourselves to be overwhelmed by things like worship, like our prayer time, like spiritual experiences? What if we positioned ourselves so that our relationship with God was the most important relationship in our life? What if we reoriented us so that we were closer to the source of our power, so that we were following in the pathway of Jesus, not just thinking about it once a week, but actually actively on that path with Jesus, so that we were in community with other believers, and not just for 1 hour a week,
or one Sunday a year. The disciples were ready for the power to come to them on the day of Pentecost because they had oriented themselves to God. The last verses say, the disciples worshiped the risen Christ and returned to Jerusalem full of joy. They were found in the temple constantly speaking the praises of God. They had reoriented their lives from ones of fear and trembling at the weirdness of the resurrection. They had reoriented themselves to the truth of new life, of hope. So if that's the first step, reorienting ourselves, the second step, I believe, is prayer. The great theologian Karl Barth said, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. So whether we're talking about the disorder of this world, perhaps the disorder of our own lives, wherever that disorder is found, I do believe that prayer is the beginning of claiming power and putting things as they should be. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you commit to a life of prayer, if you call on God's power to change things, that life is going to be easier. That everything is going to go well. Nothing bad will ever happen. I know that not to be true for me, and there are many witnesses throughout Scripture and in our own world to the contrary. We can even look to the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. He's writing about his own personal affliction. He calls it the thorn in his flesh. And he writes this, 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But my Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The reality of being human is that tough times come along. Sometimes they come along for a season, and in truth, sometimes they come along for a lifetime. But when we turn ourselves over toward God, when we accept the strength and the power that God offers us, we will find our consolation, and we will find the hope that we need to get through. The power of God, the power of the risen Christ, the power of God's Holy Spirit is what will carry us if we let it. And I believe that prayer is how we begin to do that. Walter Wink's profound book called Engaging the Powers is about nonviolent living in a violent world. It's about peacemaking, following the ways of Jesus, and he calls on the witness of Scripture. And I just want to clarify, because now I'm using power in 2 different ways. When Wink writes about the powers, he is speaking of the powers of evil that exist in our world. So engaging the powers for him means confronting destructive human power. He says this about prayer. The act of praying is itself one of the indispensable means by which we engage the powers. And he goes on to say that history belongs to the intercessors who believe the future into being. Now, in other words, those who pray the future into being. So in 1982, Pastor Christian Fuhrer of St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, a Lutheran church, I'd like to say, began holding prayer meetings on Monday evenings. The evenings were dedicated to praying for peace, for human rights to be respected, and for a peaceful end to the Cold War. The gatherings started small, but over time, more and more people would show up, eventually spilling out of the church, which seats, I think, about 1,200. So spilling out of the church into the public square. In September of 1989, in addition to the people who came to pray, about 1,200 people showed up outside the church to peacefully protest against the oppression and the abuses that were being perpetrated on the German people. These additional protests continued weekly, gathering more and more people, until on October 9th, 1989, there were 70,000 people gathered in the town square of Leipzig to peacefully protest an end to the wall, to the division in Germany, to all that was causing the German people pain. Well, 70,000 people gathered, news got out, and 1 month to the day later, November 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall was taken down. There's a German movie about the role of St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, the role they had in the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And in the movie, the security chief testifies about his desire to use force in the face of this huge gathering of people, but he was unable to do anything other than stare out at the crowd in front of his headquarters in frozen amazement. He said, "We were prepared for everything. Everything except candles and prayer." It is no small thing to pray. You want to access the power that God has given us? You want to use that power to practice resurrection, to experience new life, to bring new life and love to the people around you? Then start to pray. Pray any way, anywhere, any time. Pray by yourself. Pray in community. Just pray. Because guess what? God is already at work. If we call back on the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, "For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." That is the power of the Holy Spirit already doing what needs to be done. When we pray, we become part of that. Our relationship grows and we become connected to the work of God in this world. And God's work is the work of resurrection. So let's pray and let's get connected. There are two kinds of power in this world. There is the destructive human power and there is creative divine power. The divine power, the power that is given to us through God's Holy Spirit, is the power that moves people to do things that are counterintuitive, like love your enemies. Forgive those who have done the unforgivable. Continue to fight an uphill battle for things like civil rights and an end to racism and oppression in all its forms. To live into that divine power is to refuse to give into despair, to give into violence. It's to make the choice to do the right thing when everyone around you is telling to take care of yourself above everyone else. To tap into that divine power is to offer compassion when it's tempting to turn away from the suffering. To continue to stand by a difficult person when others would say to give up on them. To confront the evil around us with love and grace, with mercy and forgiveness. Divine power is the power that brings life, that brings resurrection. I invite you to turn yourselves towards God. I'll turn with you. We'll turn ourselves. Should have been an inclusive word. We will turn ourselves towards God to reorient ourselves and call on that promised power because it's there. Just waiting for us. Amen.